Some
such a
may get
trivial
it, may
thing.
not. It's just a haphazard. You don't know.
That's the trouble with them saying
you
they're
can't
paid,
go,
but
and
they
you
don't
have
have
a chance
never,
to
not
go
dependable.
off anywhere. Well, you know, so and so is supposed to come. Yeah, he's supposed, but.
And I was sitting there last night. I was, oh my gosh. Mom says, what is it, Mom? I said, you know, I forgot. I said, that television man's supposed to come in. I said, and I didn't think.
Well, I didn't
well,
think about
it. I just
thing.
Called you, you know, and it just dawned on me that I had some time today, and I was hoping you all could. We don't get
I tell you what, we can just all get in the car and go back, and I've got a little business over there. Ms. Chitty, Mr. Franks, he's so slim.
Yes.
He just always slim?
Our neighbor up there close to us, she said she couldn't understand. Huh? I said, well, Margaret, you had to get you be fat like you are from your mother or father. One said, your mother's fat. I said, my mother's never been. I said, she's bigger now than she ever was. My mother and father both were slender.
Mm. And that dress I've got on there, it's way yonder bigger than what I really intend to be. Mm-hmm. But you see there, I ain't as big there as I am here.
No, even with clothes and all, Ma, I have to agree.
Yeah.
But look where the dress is at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
yeah.
says, is that live? Oh, look at your dress, it's losing something. Well, that's a tunic.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the dress and an extra skirt on top, but
uh-huh.
it all goes together when you pull one off.
I don't know, Frankie, you're talking about the picture. Daddy always held his head up like that, and Frankie does the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like
picture.
This?
Holds his head up. When you're taking a picture of him, boy, he's standing just as... You know, this way he's always cutting up. One time he's taking, Mama had some beautiful lilies in the side, kind of side backyard, and taking this picture out. He had a lily up this when he was cutting up. About the time I take this picture, that's where I take him.
And I love the way his hat's pushed on the back
yeah.
of his head.
Uh-huh. And he never had his head pulled down.
Oh, he never did?
Not in the picture, but when he had Tony down,
when he was dressed, he always
he put it down.
Face.
Over his eyes. Right?
Yeah. He wanted them. He wanted to be seen when he was having his
and
picture.
There was a guy... Garage, a big garage back behind where he's standing there.
Yeah.
But I asked the man if they thought they could take it out and just put those little tree things in there.
Yeah.
Those pictures cost you that doing like that, didn't cost about $35, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
How long
that
you had
mm-hmm.
Okay.
About, it was not too far, too long after Daddy died. He's been dead 24 years. It's coming
yeah.
October.
Yeah.
Must have him made the year after.
Now the one these, well, we told you when that was made. And of course, the picture of Mom and Daddy
made in 15.
Was made in 15. That one of Daddy, but these were done to this size and the frames and everything.
Yeah.
Of course, like.
Why she's
places.
Just a girl, isn't she? I didn't realize that. I keep looking at the dress.
Uh-huh.
Her face is young.
What year
know,
was that made,
Mom?
What year was that made? That
picture.
And you were, let's see, 1892.
I was 22 in March of 14. And Mama died in 14.
If I may
and
ask
here come
something
up in
pictures.
The fall of 15, and that was made in March of 15.
How
about
yeah,
23? Something's wrong around
yeah,
about 23.
We used, I used to take pictures.
I wonder I didn't look older than what I do there. I had so much hard seer work to do before.
May I tell you that wasn't hard work?
2-3 days out of school, planting corn, growing, planting cotton, chopping cotton, hoeing
that
corn, replanting, yeah, and toting two great big old. Papa had two big old red, they call them snuff buckets.
Oh,
the color of the share cup.
Uh-huh.
Might have been a little darker. But anyway, I've toted them many a time just as full as I could lag up and down. Cross-bedded corner rows going to him with, he had the fertilizer distributor. Now, a lot of times he didn't have no distributor. Only the old-fashioned horn, old tin horn, you know, and you stick, hold it down in the way where they stick the hand or something, work it in this big trumpet-like part of it. Through that, you'd go out through the small end.
I
don't
know if I meant to
No,
or
not.
It was awful. He didn't want it to work.
I didn't think that.
And that's where I farmed when I was growing up.
I forgot, Mr. Miles. Please forgive me. I'm too young to die. Don't get rid of me.
Yeah, I don't get to hear you all talk. I don't. No, sir, I've never seen one of those horns. Never used one or seen one.
They used to call them yonder distributors.
They give it a commercial.
But
name.
They've got one now that you can hook to a mule or a horse and put it, or you can hook it to your tractor.
Yeah.
But this here was the old time thick and poured and then go right on down and I've told it in big old buckets. That wouldn't be that high.
Yeah.
How big around. There were pasteboard buckets. But now you get out that fertilizing. Guyana? Guyana? Get that in there. And Wolfcross rows it bedded up about that high. Step on one down in the fur, up and down. Oh, and I got one leg shorter than the other.
Just not diagnosed your baseball.
I tell you, one of the worst things you can do is take a bucket of fertilizer and put some out by hand. First thing you know, that hand will be burning up on it. And you keep thinking you'll get sued. But
and the way he worked his, he had
job.
What they call it was a big old crocus. It was thicker than what we have in our crocus bags, you know. He had him an apron made of that, and he'd fix that. Guyana horn, we call it. The big mouth part, it looked like a bugle, a trumpet, engine over trumpet.
Now that would be an antique.
And
fix that in his
apron here. He had a place fixed where he could, and then he'd take the apron or a can or something, maybe a scoop, I don't know. Might have taken his hand sometimes, he didn't have it all. And he'd run it in that thing, and he'd just walk along. And then sometimes he'd fix his apron, where the fertilizer, he could just take his apron and kind of shake it that way, and he'd go through that funnel thing right on. But that didn't help my two big buckets of fertilizer, because I'd have to go right back as soon as I emptied it, and I'd go back, fill them up again.
Yeah.
I'd like to know who of you, or do you have any recitals or anything that love the piano? Now, who does the playing? Both of you? Do you both
play? Oh, just keep it for our friends.
Oh, my goodness. Like beautiful piano. I just figured, I see there's a lot of, who is this?
Play a little bit.
Beethoven. All that kind of, do you like those classical things?
Well, I go in for any of it. I like a little of any
what
of it.
What about you? Do you like them?
Yeah, we just listen to it all.
What you call him? Mozart?
Yeah.
Is that the correct pronunciation? You being a teacher, and you too being a teacher. What do you, you've asked us now, we'd like to interview you two people. Are you at the university, both of you are at the university's teachers?
No, Faye has her own little place up in town where she has some pupils that come in. And I work part time over there, I just have part of it. I do office work, and then I teach a class, such as it is, in anybody's class.
Well,
and I teach them business writing and things like that.
But mostly we think about ourselves as being the right idea.
Yeah.
Miss Judy?
I'll tell you all about it. I have tried several times in my life to make an honest living, as the fellow says. I've tried it out here. And every time I try it, I go broke. I don't seem to be able
to make it.
It costs me so much to do
business.
I have
to make two or three.
Yes. Everything is so high.
Get up.
Yeah.
It's like talking about the ways of doing things. You know, people know it's not for the as it goes.
No.
It's not for the.
No, it's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
For the want of money.
Yeah.
you know, what is it the Bible says about the want of money, I believe it is.
Yeah.
And that's the trouble today. People are, they're looking for ways to make more money.
Yeah.
So the other people, the Georges and the Johns and whatever, the Browns and the Greens and everything, you know, in a lot of cases the Joneses try to keep up with the Nixons and whatever. Well, I shouldn't use the word Nixon now. That's a bad name. I mean,
yeah,
it's a good name. But I want to classify it. Smith. Smith, that's a good name.
Smith and Jones.
But
I tell you, it'd be a lot more fun if we could make our living just the way we'd like to instead of having to...
I think it's nice
to have
known and to know you two people. You know,
yeah,
you've been in the public eye, and you are a people that are well-educated, and you know your way around, and we're having... what you're doing in every day.
Be a lot more fun if we knew our way over to that pond where you all fish.
That's right.
You know.
I wish we could.
Now you see, Faye works, and she knows more about her business than I know about mine. But she works privately, and she can't make as much as I can just hiring out to the university. Now you see, that's what really gets into. That's what we all get into. And then when I go up there and work, I don't have any responsibility. I don't have to drum up anything, you see. I just do what they tell me. And you see, that's not so hard on you. I come out here, and you see, right now, I just picked up one of your mama's. She talking about that heavy crocus sack they used to have. And they'd make an apron of it. I just thinking, you see, I don't wear these clothes I sit around in here. I don't wear out there in the cattle because I don't keep my clothes clean. I always, when I go out, I slip on those old trousers and come in.
Well, it's good. Most men don't regard it that much. They just say, well, however, it'll be washed. It'll be dry clean somewhere. I'll have to take it.
Yeah.
Let it go, you know.
Yeah.
It's good
well,
that you were concerned.
I'm in the house a good bit and doing desk work and all. And I get sort of conscious of that. And but you see, I was brought up a little bit too late. You see, if I had been a little closer to your mama, see, I'd know a lot of things I don't know. You see, I left home before I was an adult, really. You see, and so. I never was there as an adult and did things like the rest of people. So, you see, I missed out on a lot of it. But now I'm just thinking, I think really what I need, I don't need to change clothes like that. If I had one of them heavy Kroger sack aprons when I go out there.
He finally hits the jackpot, don't he?
Because an apron is something I never use.
You need one with
That's right.
Put it on here and tie it up, and you just put
right.
the thing in your lap, pick up a young calf and woman, bring it to the house.
That's right. Take the apron.
Have you?
Take the apron off and say, I need.
Well, it comes in as a protection. Most ladies wear the little aprons, you know, around to protect their clothes. So the men,
you know,
my husband,
right.
had
they used to,
had,
Margaret.
Right.
They don't anymore.
I know.
They
Mom would be lost without her. Her
I freeze in the wintertime.
She
don't
have her little
apron on. I'll freeze in the other day. And in the summertime, I feel like I'm losing my other clothes if I ain't got them.
Oh, really?
Well,
now you see, I never.
If I didn't have this on or a belt on, I'd just feel like I was losing all the rest of my clothes.
Yeah,
Mom, I tell Aunt Rosalie when she comes down, Aunt Rosalie wears the whole apron, you know, the top part of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She got
down
here. The straps come to the end
back
tape.
Mama don't like it. I don't like one around mine. I don't have one apron.
Well, you can put it around and pull it back.
I've got one I made by fingers. Oh, the strings about like that, and I didn't know for a long time. I know that afterwards I had lost a lot of weight because I couldn't bring that thing around and tie it.
It worked.
But before that, I knew I couldn't bring it around tight. The other one wouldn't tie that way, so.
Yeah.
I must have been lost, but I can take that and bring it almost to a knot. ties there. Just a little too tight.
She's got a sweater half the time. She's like taking a bone away from a dog. You know, get it to wash.
Yeah.
And she says, Margaret, it's warm.
Yes.
It's more dirt on, so it's warm. I have washed. Now, this year, I believe, since I've been. Well, I've done washing for a long time.
This year.
She hasn't been able to for a long time. But this year, I've washed at least sweaters, and I think three a week is about the least the most I have, you know.
Yeah.
I've washed as high as 8 sweaters a week. My daughter don't even know what it's like to, and I tell her, I said, Betty Ann, when I was going
she
to school.
She wouldn't wear one. It was all that cold weather. She wouldn't wear one.
No, she went
along,
to school, where it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Mama, Daddy, come get my sweater.
And everything's got to be just so. Of course, I can well understand what Mom and Daddy and the boys went through when I was coming up, how ornery I was, you know, about my clothes. I didn't have very many, but everything had to be just so. And a dress, it wasn't worn unless it was, I didn't wear it the one time, you know. Like, you know, your dress clothes, you can't afford it if you take care of them as adults should, a lot of growing up children. Hang them up, you know, neatly. All right, put them away and wear them. But Margaret didn't do that. And Brother, I have paid for it over the years, too, you know.
Yeah.
Everything had to be ironed. But let me tell you one thing. You see, I'm not very particular. I like to go clean, but I don't have very many clothes. But Betty Ann, she'll take anything it's got to lay just so. Oh, no, it's one of Mom and Daddy had to beat me half to death. Everything's got to be just so. And she can spot something that don't look right in the water when she goes, Mama, what's in this water? Lame said, well, you can't expect it to be no different. Mama, this looks like a piece of trash. I said, get it out. We can't afford it. Our heater's on the blink. Now, I've been on for about 6 months and have to heat the water on the stove, you know, for a bath. Because that water in the shower would just make you jump out of the tub. Like it's been, you know. But the little trailer's pretty warm, I guess. And I guess it goes back to Mama's sweater.
Yeah, that's right. It's
you know,
warm.
There's so much nastiness in the house, so much dust and everything, you know, till lady came in tonight. She says, Margaret, have you got a new rug on the floor? And it kind of made me feel better. I hadn't scrubbed, you know, and swept it, and it looked better. I said, no, ma'am, it's the same one's been on the floor all the time. Did you put it down, Margaret? Very nosy, you know. Did you put it down, Margaret? I said, no, ma'am, it was there when we got the trailer. It's so pretty, and I could just see my, just creeping, you know. She could see maybe in the corners, you know, where the dust hadn't been cleaned out and everything. And people looking as well. I used to be so particular. And I'm not.
Miss Cindy, I ought to get one of those evens, don't I?
Don't you think we could get him one?
Well, I'll tell you
how. I got plenty of Cooper sacks. They're not as heavy as he was.
Well, them days and nowadays, everything's thinner than what it was then.
Yeah.
Even money's thinner than they used to know people that washed the money. Did y'all ever wash your money?
Oh, don't tell me you know people that washed money.
Didn't you, Mom?
Yeah.
Washed and ironed it.
Your lady down there to pop, because whenever she went in the store and they give her back money out of, maybe she'd give them a clean 20 or 10 or something or a 5. She'd watch them close, and they'd take out whatever change, come back, she'd take that, and she had no little pocketbook. She stuck it in there, put it down in her hand, and she
I don't
had
have
home,
time to wash.
She washed.
Don't last that long.
She washed it.
Warm suds of water. And then, and then she'd ride. And then she ironed it out, and you wouldn't know it from what it was, a brand new dollar bill, or 10, 5, whatever it was. I've seen her go in there with a check, maybe $30, $40, maybe $50 check. And they'd hand her the money. Boy, she'd jump her, stick it in one side of her handbag. I'll send to you when I get you home. And Willie Mae Knutson.
Well, her brother was your boyfriend, wasn't he, Mom?
Her uncle was the man that owned Mr. Will Chanton, that owned the store. And she was great. Now, you talk about somebody taking, she could take paper like this, and you could be talking to her, and she could look down at that, and then look at you, and look at you. And how you like that? And be the world like that.
You know, it's good when people can do that. I hope our daughter will be, you know, she's taking art this year in school. I hope she'll make an art.
Willie Mae.
Take care of herself, you know. it'll take more than art, I know, but I mean, it'll help out anyway.
What
you had the name where it's one
oh,
of
you're
the
just
three.
Getting fidgety. That's your trouble.
No.
Huh?
I remembered I had to do something.
Yeah. Faye can't sit much. She gets fidgety. She says, you tell me when I go home.
Her name was really me, Ozella Canute.
Mom, was she a little woman or a big woman?
She
with a name like that?
She was tall and she was skinny. Hair was just as black as crow. And I don't know, but I think eyes were either brown or blue. I can't remember which. But she was a real nice girl. Best girlfriend I had, you might say. Go around.
That's a nice little lady.
Go around in there.
She's crazy.
I mean, she does quite a bit, of, you know, in her job up there, her teaching there.
Yeah, she works hard.
But as I was going to tell you about
she
this girl and me and the money, she...
Well, I imagine you work hard. I say working with this education, you know, anything pertaining to education. you chose that as a career, didn't you, Mr.?
No, I just happened to get into it. Let your mama go ahead with that. What she's saying.
His education.
Money.
He says, "Mama can go down the drain. He wants to hear what you're saying."
Well, about the money, Ozella, Willie Mae told me. She says, "I'm his chief. I'm his chief." She says, "And for that boy, Mr. Daddy." She says, "And for her, says I'll tell you something." She says, "I got something to tell you, just like this." And when this woman. I can't think of that woman's name now. But anyway, she wasn't too, she didn't act haughty or anything, thought herself better than anybody else. But she said, and when she got out the door with me, just I'll tell you now, she says, and the whole time she was talking to me, she was watching that woman, and when that woman went out the door, she couldn't see anymore, and she showed me pictures that she drew of her going out the door.
Right.
I said, well, maybe you ought to make a living at your artwork, sketching, you know.
Yeah.
She said, well, what I wanted to tell you, she said, you know that woman will go home, she said, you know where she put that money when I cash that check? I said, yes, I know she put it down one side of her pocketbook. And she says, well, she'll go right home. Says, she'll take every dollar bill, every one of them. Then she'll heat her some water. She'll put soap or something, powders or something in there to fumigate. Then she'll wash them. Then she'll let them strung around there. And then they go to dry and she goes to ironing. Says, and she can come back in here tomorrow with three or four of them bills, and that thing is brand new.
I wouldn't have thought that, would you? I sure would.
This woman, she had told me before, but I was one.
You never tried it.
No, so I was a person that I'd listened a whole lot, but I didn't say much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't side in with them about doing these things. And she was up over McLeod's grocery store where she was living first. And she come down the store to get something, and Miss McLeod made change, and she had $2-3 over, you know, she stuck that in the apron pocket. And when we started out, she caught me by the sleeve and wanted me to come as far as the back door with her. Well, the steps there, you know, goes up to the upstairs part. I can't think of that woman's name, just her and her husband. She was a short, stout, built woman. But anyway, she... She told me, got to the step, she says, you know why I put this one in my pocket? I says, no, ma'am. She says, well, I'm going to wash it when I get upstairs. She says, I'm going to wash that money and dry it. I says, oh, she says, you never know who's handling money. You never know what kind of something you can catch from that money.
I don't know what's on your mind.
Nothing. I was just listening to Miss Chitty, and I was saying, wait, am I was up in front of
you? Got your clock up there where you can see it, where's another and you can see
it. Miss Chitty, who does Everett take after? Everett, take after Daddy?
No, sir. He's more on the Whittington side than he is the Smith side.
Yeah.
Because his mother was a Whittington. And boy, she could glim it off yonder, and if she didn't strain both ears, she couldn't remember what she said first before the last word. Gummies forgot that when she started on another sentence. And she just like everybody about talking. Oh, she can just roll it off. But she never said anything out of the way about anybody, but she's just telling you this, that, and other, and he's just going in a horse getting high. Now, you notice how his will go up?
Oh, will it?
He'll be talking to you right now. So, you know so-and-so, don't you? Well, maybe it'll start this way. He'll be talking. Well, do you know something? Well, I do. I've known him ever since he was a little bit in, right up in there. He'll go with it. But, Lord, I gave him peace of my mind that day when they got in that trailer of corn was on the axe. But I never finished. We got in the house.
Yeah,
Mother kept calling Frankie. Well, got that wash my hand. Oh, it was so bloody, just like sort of cut off or something. Well, I was trying to keep my mind clear of everything that occurred, you know. That word, fainting. That's about it. A lot of blood would make me faint. Yeah. I used to it. And
you got used to it?
And yes, in a lot of ways I have. Now, I imagine if I was to be around what is most especially human blood, anything that animal blood, anything like working hogs, beef, and chickens, anything like that, the blood don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing somebody bleeding or anything like that, it just everything turns, what little bit got up there, it gets bruised, black.
It still bothers you.
And so I went to the window there where we had Chef built on the outside, stove back over here. There's a window in the end there. But chickens always run out. And we had a swill bucket out there, you know, to put the slops and stuff, scraps and things in there. They'd get it there, they'd pick it out and sling it up on the wall till we got to where we'd take it, set it inside, and cover it over with a board pan or something, you know. And we had set it inside to keep the chickens from picking the good stuff out of it, you know, give to the hogs. And I went to another washing my hands, and I says, Monroe, I says, oh, Monroe, I says, get the camp bottle, I believe I'm going to. Monroe, he right up there, Frankie, come here quick, come on, hurry up. Well, there's a little old fence out, and Frankie didn't go up the gate, he just come over the fence, you know, like a cat. And he says, what is it? Monroe says, come here quick. Mama says, Mama's going to die. I know she's going to die. Well, they just thought I was going when I'd have one of them spells, you know, just pass out.
Oh, you had spells?
I used to just be sitting up there talking to them or something. And I said, And if they didn't work, I'd tumble over. They scared me out about death.
And they had to get the medicine for you.
And that's where that they camp bottle, I say, I got it there, hid around there somewhere. And we used to buy a camphor, blocks of camphor, you know, the pure camphor.
Yeah.
And we'd chip it up and put it in that bottle. Then we'd either get whiskey or moonshine. And moonshine makes good camphor. And so just almost, well, we hadn't been about that much used out of the bottle since we filled it up.
Uh-huh.
I kept telling Frank, Frankie, better get some more whiskey or liquor or something, not a Well, anyway, it's on the whiskey side, you know. I said, just a tiny little bit to go in my camphor bottle's all I want. He looked at the bottle one day. He says, well, Mammy, he says, that bottle is getting pretty low, ain't it? I says, yes, and you don't know how much you're going to have to use on some of us, too, someday. I want it filled up. So he goes down past Johnson's store down there. Oh, and it'll make moonshine. He got about, I mean, about that much in a small flask. About a half a pint flask bottle. He brought up then, put it in there. He said, his mammy says it's about a good swallow left. I said, throw it out. And he's teasing me, but he was a, you might say, a drunkard. But he had been quit about 4 years before he met me.
Oh?
Quit drinking, just up and quit.
Oh.
And he had a scar up there in his head where somebody liked to bring him to death in a hotel one night when he was young. He'd been working down here at the Millwood Farm. And he'd gone down, well, he went down south, down that Apopkin Winter Gardens where Jim done his fishing on Lake Apopka down there. He told, Jim told him, says, Frank, says, you want a drink? No, he says, I don't, because I don't drink anymore, Jim. He says, oh, come on, Jim was bad about drinking. Well, all them fishermen, you know, they were all bad about drinking and get out on that old big lake and them waves coming this way with the boats and that away. I had to have something to hold the nerves down, but I'd have only been sober when I went under if I didn't come back up. And anyway, we got my camphor bottle. More than liked about that much, I reckon, being full up. It's a long neck bottle, I think. Well, as I remember, about that long anyway. And it liked about that much being full. Well, Frankie goes in there, he gets it and comes back. And Monroe had helped me up. I done cooked to the window here, you know. I just went on, hurry up, Frankie, hurry up. I can't hold up much longer. Hurry up. And Frankie, he got around there. And he liked to sit down in the slop bucket. And kept pulling me back. He says, well, move, Frankie, let's go get Mama's head in that slop bucket. And I just turned to like a limp ragging. Monroe, he starts, Frankie, do something, do something. Frankie,
could you hear him?
I could hear him, he couldn't say nothing. Finally, I passed out on him, but I was gradually coming back. Frankie, you were pouring the camphor up here in my head. And so Monroe says, Frankie, says it ain't doing her no good up there. Says, put some around the nose. Frankie says, well, I can't hold her head up and forth. He says, yeah, put some on my head. He eased me down. He says, that's the way Daddy does. He says, he gets his hand wet and all over her nose and around. About that time, I kept getting my breath, you know. And they both hollered out, thank God, thank God. Mama, Mama, you getting all right? Just running down my nose. They were big enough to be out in the field working, but they were helping me there at the house, being Saturday, and looking for Monroe and, Margaret and Lehman to come in.
Uh-huh.
But boy, when they come in, I had my hand all tied. Ever he come in, you know, and stopped, and what have you done to your finger? Cut it off, cutting up chicken. Nope. I says, that doggone trailer of yours out yonder has caused me to almost smash my finger on this hand off and busted this one. I says, I'm still mad, but I was mad enough then to take that trailer by the tongue and turn it all clear over. He says, what for? I says, next time y'all bring that blame trailer and stop it out there with a load of corn, anything on it, stop it on the axe, I'm going to. And I don't know if I can get over the axe, I may chop y'all open. He said, Miss Chitty, what's the matter? Frank, he was standing there, but he knew I was mad, and he knew the one of it. Not a bit of use to say anything to him till I had to say it. Then I went over and sat down and cried. That's me when I get good and mad, or my feelings hurt. I don't do it now, but I used to. I can't cry. I'll start crying, the tears will come out, just a little bit of tears, you know. And then I choke. Choking in here just seems like it's just getting so big that it's going to burst. And I can't get my breath. And now I can be sitting here talking to you, not once. Maybe I get along, how you breathe through your nose and it goes down, it'll strangle me and I'll go to coughing.
Oh, really?
And then I get strangled a lot of times. Mommy, if you don't quit with them old troops and that old powders, you quit, you wouldn't have that cough. Well, I have asthma anyway. Had it ever since I was a child.
Oh, really? Well, that stuff's nuisance, Miss Chitty. That, I've seen people pass out with that.
I have too. I've heard of them.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah.
And get my old man and me and my old man.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Oh, goodness. You got 10? Yeah. I think this is all
about. Yeah. This run. 480, 490, channel 1, 2 right, and the end of the visit with Margaret and Miss Chitty this Friday, the 14th of May, 1971. This is a big machine. Channel, the end of the visit with Margaret and Miss Chitty this Friday, the 14th of May, 1971. Channel 2 right, around 480 or 90. Channel 2 right, around 480 or 90, the end of the visit with Margaret and Miss Chitty. This Friday, 14th of May, 1971, channel 1 right, channel 2 right, channel 2 right, and the end of the visit with Margaret and Miss Chitty this at noon. They got here about 11 and stayed until, I don't know what time, 1:30 maybe. The 14th of May, 1971, the end of the visit with Margaret and Miss Chitty at noon for lunch, two sides and a half. This Friday, the 14th of May, 1971.